Producer Peyton, I saw a great meme that I wanted to share with you. It's about President Trump, and he's holding like a Subway sandwich card, and it says impeachments, and he's looking at Mike Pence, and he says, "One more, and I get a free sandwich." And I just, I just busted out laughing.
You know, I think that that's something that we need to bring to this show more is, verbal memes that we can just describe memes to the listeners, because every day is a good day for a good meme, whether it's, you know, making fun of your side, making fun of the other side. There's always more room for good memes in this world.
I am a meme addict, and I got to tell you, last night I was doing an evening radio program, and I made the case as to why I think that this impeachment is a total joke, why it's all garbage, and I was looking at the text line afterwards. People were texting in after the segment, and they were some of the meanest things you could have ever read in your life. People were throwing at me. People were saying, "Oh, you ideologue! How dare you? How could you still support President Trump? How could you possibly do this? The only thing that you're looking for out of this is a place in his administration," all these kind of this vitriol. And I couldn't make any sense of it because I walk around as the guy, and I'm going to trademark this sentence, is not a Trump guy. I walk around with that. I'm actually going to make it into a t-shirt. But again, I find myself being on the side of the president again because other people are either cowards or they won't do it or they just won't stand up for what is right and what is truthful. I'm not sure what it is, but there are a lot of other pundits out there who are just kind of acquiescing and saying, "Oh, yes, of course, the president should be impeached." And I say, why? Why would we possibly want to go through this ridiculous procedure that is a tremendous waste of time and money and resources? And then it hit me. It hit me out of nowhere. It was like an epiphany that there is a phenomenon going on right now, which I will call the televised mind. I know it sounds far out there, but just follow me down this rabbit hole. The televised mind is someone who reads very little news. They listen to very little talk radio, and all they really consume is about 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes of CNN, MSNBC, or maybe David Muir, or maybe Lester Holt, and then they move on with the rest of their life. They're a low information voter, and what they take in only comes from TV. And I know I sound like I'm a 1950s evangelist saying that television is the devil, but that's not the case that I'm trying to make right now. The case I'm trying to make is that people's minds, their critical thinking skills, have literally been atrophied and rotted out from people like Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, Rachel Maddow, people who don't pressure them to think, people who tell them how to think and what to think. And so what do you do with someone like that who no longer becomes a critical thinker? What do you do with that individual? Well, technically, they're disabled in a lot of ways. They have no ability to think about an issue like impeaching the president critically, because now what is it? It's a big joke. It's a big, fun proceeding where we get to dunk on the president. And again, just to drive this point home, here is CNN anchor Don Lemon last night. This is on Tuesday night. He said that the riot on Capitol Hill last Wednesday was different from the Black Lives Matter riot last summer. Here's what that sounded like.
I'm glad you mentioned about being shot by cops, because you cannot compare this, and I'm sick of people comparing. You can't compare what happened this summer to what happened at the Capitol. It's two different things. One was built on people, on racial justice, on criminal justice, right? On reform, on police. Not beating up or not police treating people of color differently than they do whites. Okay, that is not a lie. Those are facts. Go look at them. What happened at the Capitol on Wednesday was built on a lie perpetrated by the president and the people who support him. So just on that one, that merit, if you want to call it, it's not comparable. Those things are not comparable. So they should stop doing that and stop this whataboutism.
Okay, that is not an argument. That is not an argument whatsoever put forward by Don Lemon. That is just a statement. That's just him saying, well, there's this and then there's this. And also, he says stop doing whataboutism. That is the definition of whataboutism. He's saying, well, what about Black Lives Matter? What about they were fighting for truth? They were fighting for justice. These people were premised on a lie. That's not an argument whatsoever. They're both wrong. They're both bad. People rioting and destroying things and stealing things, those are both empirically wrong. But again, when someone feeds this to an individual who spends all day having their, you know, you work really hard throughout the day, you've got kids, let's say, and then you go home and you want to take in the news, and the easy fix the sugary cereal is what? Well, it's Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, Rachel Maddow, who's going to give you these kind of sugar-coated arguments that don't hold weight whatsoever. You and I would say violence is wrong in almost every single circumstance, full stop. It is wrong to burn down someone's business. It is wrong to march into the Capitol and take things and all that kind of stuff. We would just say that full stop. We wouldn't have to add in any kind of affiliation to it. And that's what he's doing. He's trying to say, this is the side that's on goodness and righteousness, and these are evil people. Ipso facto, my side is correct. And here's the thing. Chris Cuomo agrees with him. He agrees with him, again, on Tuesday night, that the riot in Capitol Hill last Wednesday was different than the Black Lives Matter riots last summer.
The truth is, as soon as somebody says to you, Don, when they are aware of what happened last week, but this summer, as soon as those words come out of their mouth, they do not care about what happened last week.
That's true.
Because they know everything that you're saying and I'm saying. They get that it's not apples to apples. Yeah. What it is a reflection of the truth of what is happening in this country, which is there are people who don't care, who don't like what was done, who don't believe the black people are justified, and it's why last week happened, and we can get angry too. Yeah. That's the truth.
I'm not going to say that that's propaganda. I'm not going to say that. You might say that. Peyton might say that. Jason might say that. I'm not going to say that. Your kids might say that. Your dog might say that. Everybody in your life. I'm not going to say that it's propaganda. What I will say is that that is a clear obfuscation of the issue. The issue is that looting and rioting is wrong. And it shouldn't happen. Shouldn't happen in Seattle. Shouldn't happen in Portland. Shouldn't happen in D.C. But instead, what they're trying to do, again, is spoon-feed people this narrative, this idea that one kind of violence is okay and another kind of violence is wrong. And that is so immoral. That is so incorrect. And I'll give you another example. Last night, I was, again, I'm going to give you the same argument that I gave last night as to why impeachment is just, this is such a terrible, terrible idea. This is the worst thing that the Democrats could have possibly done. It is gross. It is politicky. It is disgusting. It is the swamp. It is everything that I hate about American politics wrapped up into one issue. But I pointed out last night that about 2 years ago, Maxine Waters came out. And she encouraged supporters at a rally in Los Angeles to stand up to members of President Trump's administration. Here's what that sounded like.
If we can't protect the children, we can't protect anybody. If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd.
So we are told that incitement to riot is an impeachable crime, correct? That is what this whole thing is predicated on. Incitement to riot. I'm pretty sure that Representative Maxine Waters was attempting to incite a riot. Can you imagine just for a quick second that if President Trump came out and he said, if you see somebody in Joe Biden's administration, and they're in a restaurant, I want you to go in there and pull them out and tell them that they are not welcome. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the fallout from that? And yet, when Maxine Waters does it, everybody goes, well, that's really fired up political speech. She's really fired up right there. She's just really trying to rile up the base. She's just trying to get No, well, that's wrong. No one should say that, right? But then you have people covering for people like Maxine Waters. You have Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo who cover. And again, this whole theory of mine, the televised mind, these are people who can't think critically, and it's almost as if they have short-term memory loss. I'll give you another example. Hillary Clinton just, what is this, in August? It's August 25th of last year, came out and said that Joe Biden should not concede. Here's what that sounded like.
Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch and if we are as focused and relentless as the other side is.
So we were told that what led to the riots was Trump's refusal to concede. Again, that's the narrative, right? Trump wouldn't, he should have said that months ago. He should have conceded months ago. And this all, him refusing to concede led to the riot. That's the narrative that we keep getting told. Well, Hillary Clinton was talking about that back in August. So is she culpable for the things that come out of her mouth? Is she liable for those things? right? If we're going to hold everybody to the same standard, if we're going to hold everybody to the same standard prosecution, why not hold Hillary Clinton to the same standard? Or do we have different standards for different people? And this is why I choose publicly to come out as a semi-public figure and say that the impeachment is a total joke and it has no merit whatsoever and it will go nowhere. And if it does, it will be a tragedy of American justice. It will be a tragedy and a perversion of the system of government in the United States. It is gross. I have no interest in it whatsoever, in the same way that I have no interest in violence. However, Chris Cuomo came out, again, this is June 4th. This is over the summer. We all remember Seattle is burning. So Chris Cuomo comes out again. This was on June 4th. I was on air that day in particular. I was doing a show that night, and I couldn't believe it when he said it. But he comes out and he justifies the protests and he justifies the violence. And here's what that sounded like.
And please show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful. Now, too many see the protests as the problem.
What standard are we operating here by? Or are we dealing with a double standard? And this is why I choose to come out in support of the president. And I say, please stop this impeachment. This should not go through whatsoever. I look at the whole circumstance. And even when you try to break it down for people and you say, well, on the day of the Capitol Hill riots, President Trump is giving a speech. On the ellipse, there is another group of people who are a mile and a half away, and they are at the Capitol. Two completely separate groups. They start pushing up against the Capitol police as President Trump is speaking. So President Trump is saying that we're all going to go down there and we're going to support our senators and our representatives who are engaging in this process. Meanwhile, at the same time, there's this other group that is down at the Capitol who's pushing through. So where is this charge coming from? The timeline doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But if you talk to a low information individual, they're going to say, oh, well, he said it, and then they walked a mile and a half, and then they were at the Capitol. Peyton, if you had to ballpark it, what does the average person walk a mile and a half at? How long do you think it would take a person to walk a mile and a half?
15 to 20 minutes, somewhere in that range.
15, 20 minutes, right? So, again, right there, the timeline doesn't match up whatsoever. 15, 20, 25 minutes, that whole group of people walks down there. So we have a group of bad actors who are already planning on doing stuff at the Capitol. They're already planning on going in, breaking through, stealing things. There was that guy who got caught with pipe bombs and Molotov cocktails. You have a group of bad actors, mostly QAnon individuals. Potentially, you could have had a couple of Antifa people thrown into the mix. There was a BLM guy there. He came out and said, yeah, no, I was there. I was documenting it. I was only there filming stuff. It's like, why would you be there if not to start trouble and to film other people committing crimes? But regardless, let's just say that there was a couple dozen Antifa people there. The FBI says there's no evidence. Okay, sure. But let's just say there's 24 of them there. And then you've got, what, about 500 QAnon people? I don't think that Antifa really makes that big of a difference. I do think that it was a bunch of far-right QAnon people who were too fired up, who maybe even got kind of this mob mentality. We all know how mobs get when people start to get too fired up over an issue. I fear mobs probably more than I fear anything else, and I have terrible arachnophobia. But the idea of an out-of-control mob who's all fired up on a concept... Ugh, man, that's a recipe for disaster. So again, how can you equate this unruly group of people over at the Capitol with what the president was doing? Any rational person looking at this issue would say these two do not correlate. These are two completely separate groups of people. We even see that picture of that old woman walking around in the rotunda. She's an older woman, and she has like a juice box in her hand, and she seems as if she is lost and confused. She doesn't seem like a rioter to me. It seems like someone who just walked into the Capitol. So now you have this mix of people who are just kind of there, again, committing crimes, which I condemn. I think that it's gross. But I don't think that everybody has to come out all of the time, and every time we talk about it, we have to say we condemn it. I think everybody condemns it. I don't think anybody's on the side of those individuals who went into the rotunda, who went into the Capitol. That's just gross behavior. As a matter of fact, you know who else thinks that? President Trump. President Trump thinks it's gross as well. Here's a clip, again, an hour as the riots were going on, an hour into them. Here's President Trump asking the rioters to go home and leave D.C.
I know your pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it. Especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel. But go home and go home in peace.
What more could you want from the man? Legitimately. And then they take away his Twitter account. And that was his only way of telling people to go home, right? So what more could you want from an individual who says, listen, I know that you're angry and I know that you're upset, but go home. And again, some people are pointing out, they're saying, well, he shouldn't have weaved in that language of saying that this was a fraud and that this was a sham and that it was stolen from you. And I agree with them to an extent. I don't think he should have. But I think that that was the president's attempt at empathizing with those individuals. I think that that was his attempt at saying, I get it. We're one and the same. I understand. But please go home. He was trying to empathize with them. He wasn't trying to condescend or talk down to them. And maybe people don't understand that. That the president was legitimately trying to connect with people. And say what you want about the president. Again, he can be a rude individual. He can be a terse individual. He can be very short with people. He can be kind of big and hyperbolic. But he does make a legitimate effort to connect with people even when he's at odds with them. And so, again, he's trying to connect with these people. So what is the impeachment really predicated on? I'm thinking that Nancy Pelosi is doing this solely for the fact of trying to fracture the GOP. This has nothing to do with President Trump whatsoever. This has to do with the GOP. This has to do with 2022, 2024. This is long game politics. And anybody who says otherwise, they're not thinking about politics in the right way. Again, this might sound like kind of a trite way to put it, but politics is not checkers. Politics is chess. It is the long game. You are looking 2 to 4 to 6 years down the line. So, again, what sense does it make short-term to impeach Donald Trump? Well, to your average low-information voter, they're going to say, well, he's a mean, nasty man, and he's orange, and he's got a bad tan, and I don't like him. I don't like him. Again, that's your low-information voter. But if you're paying attention, and you're actually looking at what's going on, you're saying, oh, this is about 2022. This is about 2024. This is about trying to fracture the GOP, which, to a certain extent, is working. It's working. But she's trying to fracture the GOP so that you have a third party come in that splits the votes for 2022. This is about takeover, man. This is about power politics. And I don't see how people can't connect those dots. But when you're a low information voter, and I know I keep using that phrase, but I have a tremendous amount of deeply liberal friends in my life who are the lowest of low information voters. They are the low. They have no idea. When they look at the impeachment, they look at it as this great American process. They look at it as if this is a great function of our democracy. They look at it as if this is a necessary part of we can't have him run again in 2024. Could you imagine? Oh, the horror if President Trump ran again in 2024. We simply can't have that whatsoever. This is the way they think about it. Because they're spoon-fed this information. And then that's what they run with. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a friend of mine, really, really, really liberal guy. Again, I have a tremendous amount of liberal friends. And he says, I call him up and he says, man, I'm so depressed. This is yesterday. Trump gets impeached. I call him because I'm expecting him to pick up the phone and be elated and overjoyed. And he says, man, I'm so depressed. I said, why? He said, I can't believe 70 million people would have voted for that man. I just can't believe that 70 million. And I said, what? You won, though. You won you got what you wanted. You have the presidency. You have the Senate. You have the House. What more could you possibly want? And he goes, man, I just don't know what we're going to do with all these Republicans that are out there. I said, what do you mean? What are you going to do with all these Republicans out there? You won. And he goes, man, but the riots are just really getting to me. I said, what they went through with the certification in 2 hours. What could you possibly? So these are people who are looking for something to be upset about. They're looking for something to get them all. Oh, man, I'm down in the dumps. They're so used to being so unhappy about President Trump that now that he's going away, even something like a second impeachment doesn't make him happy anymore. Could you imagine living that life? Could you imagine being that individual? I certainly can't. Peyton, I think we got to take a real quick break, actually. I think we got to duck out of here real quick. Jack Stein in for Jason Rantz. When we get back, more about the impeachment and more theories rolling out. Again, I'm Jack Stein filling in for Jason Rantz. We'll be right back after this. Jason Rantz show. I'm Jack Stein sitting in for Jason Rantz this afternoon. Got a text says, where's Jason? Peyton just informed me that Jason Rantz is in Washington, D.C. What?
Ooh, he's a big wig. Yay. That come off sarcastically? Oh, whoops.
He's going to be on TV, which I have crippling anxiety. So he is doing something that I physically could not do. He's going to be on Tucker Carlson tonight at 5:55, which is, again, something that I could not do. I would just shatter. If you want to see what I look like in real life, I will never be on television, but you can see my YouTube channel where I can desaturate my complexion and I can make myself look even better. And that's on Human Genius is the YouTube channel. So that's where you can check me out. But check out Jason this evening on Tucker Carlson. Again, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how you can get on TV like that, and you got the thing in your ear, and you're trying to, trying to coordinate.
Don't give him too much credit. It's not that impressive. For the guy who's got the biggest ego in all of Seattle, you really got to kick him at some point and knock him down a notch or two, all right? I get it. He signed some checks here in the building.
He does.
But
yeah.
We really got to bring him down to reality.
No. I actually told him the last time he was on Tucker, I texted him and I said, great suit, buddy. And he did the praying hands back. He did the praying hands emoji back at me. So, by the way, back to the news. Enough about Mr. Jason Rantz this afternoon. Again, Tucker Carlson, 5:55. Matt Gaetz, who I don't know if a lot of people know about Mr. Matt Gaetz, huge Trump supporter, takes no super PAC money. He's in Florida. He gets a lot of flack because he's a big media presence and he makes himself a big media presence. He's very keyed into what's going on. He makes a lot of television appearances, but he came out and he said, earth-shattering declaration as to how he felt about the impeachment process and what was going on. I thought he was right on the mark. Here is Matt Gaetz, and he's calling out the partisan impeachment.
This president has faced unprecedented hatred and resistance from big media, big tech, and big egos from congressional leaders on both sides of the aisle. Before the rioters tore through that glass, Speaker Pelosi stood at that rostrum and tore through the president's State of the Union speech, inciting anger, resentment, division. Some believe that truly these true colors are being shown now through this divisive partisan impeachment.
So some people say that Matt Gaetz is just a hack for the president. Some people come out and they say, well, Matt Gaetz, he's just politicking, and he has done that in the past. We have to be honest about our politicians. Politicians in many ways are just out there. And sometimes when they come out and they say things, it is purely for the spectrum of politics. It is purely for the optics of politics. But when I saw this clip from Matt Gaetz, Representative Gaetz, it touched me because I believe that he was being 100% authentic. And when I am engaging with politics now, I want authenticity. I want an individual who's not worried about how they're going to come across, how they're going to look in front of the cameras. I want to feel something from my politicians. I no longer feel anything from a politician who gets up there and does this stereotypical political voice of, we're going to go down to Washington and we're going to shake things up and then we're going to go here and we're going to do this and we're going to get this bill passed. And I don't feel anything. I want to see somebody who is actually engaged and actually cares. And at this point, it makes no difference to me what side of the political aisle they are on. I just want to see someone who's disconnected from the matrix and has the courage of their convictions to stand up and say what they really believe. Here is Matt Gaetz, by the way, getting fired up about his impeachment speech.
The speaker said to us just moments ago, words matter. But apparently those words don't matter when they're uttered by Democrats. When the gentlelady from Massachusetts calls for unrest in the streets, when the gentlelady from California brazenly brags that she called for people to get in the faces of those who serve and support the president. I denounce political violence from all ends of the spectrum, but make no mistake, the left in America has incited far more political violence than the right. For months, our cities burned, police stations burned, our businesses were shattered, and they said nothing. Or they cheer-led for it, and they fundraised for it, and they allowed it to happen in the greatest country in the world. Now, some have cited the metaphor that the president lit the flame. Well, they lit actual flames, actual fires, and we
time
put them out.
Expired. There will be order in the House.
I yield back.
Say what you want about Matt Gaetz. That is a man who cares about his country. I will tell you right now, I got goosebumps. And again, I have a lot of disagreements with Matt Gaetz on a lot of things. I would not say that Matt Gaetz does not care about his country, and because he certainly does. That is someone who is being 100% authentic, who's speaking from a position that he really cares about. Again, you can be cynical about it, and you can say, well, he's just trying to put on a good show, and you can actually, if you watch the documentary The Swamp, you can see him talking about politics and how he feels about politics in contemporary America. But again, I want to see more of that in my politics in the United States. I'm so tired of this idea that we have to be nice and friendly and all this kind of other decorum. Be passionate. Be passionate about the things that you care about. Now, Representative McClintock came out and he said that if we had prosecuted BLM and Antifa with the same determination, the Capitol riot may not have happened. And I think that this is exactly correct. If over the summer we had gone after the BLM riots in Seattle, in Portland, the Antifa riots, what was going on in Southern California, if all of those things had been addressed as for what they were, riots, looting, we would have not had this issue. We would have been able to say and just condemn rioting across the board equally as being wrong and something that we should not engage in. However, it was allowed to go on. Matt Gaetz is not wrong about this in any way, shape, or form. It is allowed to go on to this day, thanks to someone like Ted Wheeler. Remember, Jenny Durkin referred to Chaz Chop as just a summer of love. Yeah, hey, man, they took over a whole city block and they're guarding it with guns and they're throwing rocks at police. But it's just a summer of love. You have people out there who are covering for, again, I'll use this phrase, the very radical left. And I hate to use that phrase, but we have to acknowledge the fact that there is a radical group of people out there who are okay with using violence to get what they want. And that occurs on the left. It also occurs on the right. But over the summer, for months, it was the radical left. I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day, and I said, you know, I don't doubt that Antifa was at the Capitol. I really don't. Even though the FBI said that there was, quote unquote, no evidence, I don't doubt that they were there instigating. And he said, well, Jack, Antifa is just an idea. That he had the audacity to say this to me. He says, Jack, Antifa is just an idea. It's not an organization. I said, are you that uneducated? I popped at him. Admittedly, I shouldn't have been so terse, but I was really upset about the affront, about that I would just kind of spout out nonsense. I said, are you that uneducated about Antifa? He said, what do you mean? I said, there is a group in the city of Portland, Rose City Antifa. They've been around since 2007. They have a hierarchy. They have a structure. This is not some myth. This is not some legend. This is a real thing. And yet, there are people out there who still buy into the narrative that Antifa is just a concept, man. They're just anti-fascist. Why would you want to come down on Antifa? Well, because they're violent. They're violent. And they were allowed to run roughshod over the summer. So now you have all these Republicans who are coming out, and all these independents and all these conservatives, and they're saying, I condemn what happened at the riot at the Capitol. I will not cover for that whatsoever. You have all these people coming. Where were the Democrats over the summer? Where were they? Legitimately, just ask you, can anybody find me a single sound clip from anybody saying, who's a Democrat coming out and saying, man, these riots shouldn't be going on. Man, I don't want these riots going on. I'm going to bring in the National Guard. We're going to call President Trump. We're going to get him to send in the, a single one? No, they can't. Because they bought into this idea of coalition government. They bought into this idea that they needed to make a coalition party of members of BLM and members of Antifa, and they needed to get them all into one group, and that's going to be the new Democrat Party. That's the way we're going to function. So we can't come out against BLM. And the hypocrisy is what really gets me. As an independent, a lot of people say, well, Jack Stein, you talk like a really far right guy. And I constantly try to push back against that. And I say, no, I'm just trying to observe what is going on. You could say that my fundamental philosophy is right leaning all day long. And I would agree with you. I would agree with you totally 100%. But if we really look at the issue, if we really evaluate the issue of what happened on the 6th versus what happened on the summer, I guarantee you everybody would start sounding like a right winger. I guarantee it. People would say, oh, yeah, no, what happened over the summer was really, really bad. If you really looked fundamentally at what was going on, trying to set a police precinct on fire, putting lasers in police officers' eyes, using Molotov cocktails. A mortar round was found at Cal Anderson Park. I mean, these are things, if you were to say that, if you were just to go up to somebody who's left-leaning, you say, what about all of this? I guarantee you they would start sounding like a right-winger. Oh my God, we can't have that. I didn't know about that. I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that they that there was more a mortar round found in Cal Anderson Park. Oh my, that's unbelievable. How could somebody let that happen? So I think we need to start. There's all this talk now of people on the left doing. There's a meme out there about re-education camps for Republicans. As a matter of fact, we're going to get into that later on in the show. But I think now, as people who are right-leaning and conservative or independent thinkers, we need to really start trying to be more patient with people and really trying to educate, really trying to get down to the fundamentals and not deal in rhetoric. You need to deal with the facts of the issue. What does Todd Herman say about that? He says, we need to deal with the facts. We need to deal in the facts. We can't just do this whole rhetoric thing of President Trump is the greatest and blah, but we need to actually come armed with the facts. And that's how we're going to win arguments. And that's how we're going to win hearts and minds. Being patient, facts, breaking it down for people piece by piece as we are doing this afternoon. I'm Jack Stein filling in for Jason Rance. Got to take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. Jack Stein in for Jason Rance this afternoon. It's always a pleasure when Jason asks me to take over the microphone for him for a couple of days. I'll be in tomorrow as well. One of the things I've been stepping away from is talking about coronavirus. I'm no longer interested in talking about Rona. I'm no longer interested. I'd much rather complain about lockdowns and lockdown procedure. But as soon as the vaccine came out, and the treatments came out, and there's all this information about all the steroids that they can use, and vitamin D, and antibodies, and all this information, I've just become so disinterested with it. I've said to myself, you know what, listen, we've got the treatments, we've got the therapeutics, we've got the vaccine, I think we should all just open it back up, and call it a day. Thanks everybody for staying at home and wasting everybody's time for a whole year, but now we should all just get back to work. But something hit me out of nowhere. I was watching the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, the other day, and there was an ad for a new mask which ventilates the air and amplifies your voice. And I thought, why do we need a mask like this? Why would a company dump potentially millions of dollars into developing a mask for people to buy, which is going to cost hundreds of dollars? It is like Peyton, have you seen what this mask looks like?
Yeah, I've been looking at this. I'm very curious about this mask since you ran this article past me today.
This is so weird. It's got a built-in microphone and amplifier. It is a medical-grade respirator. It has a clear front that you can change the colors of. It is an exceedingly expensive-looking piece of equipment. And they are talking about how this is going to be the new thing, that everybody's going to be wearing this. And I'm watching this, my jaw open, thinking, wait a minute, we're not going to have masks in 6 months. Why is this company doing all of this research and development into a mask? Again, this is from Razer, who makes gaming equipment. And it is just so weird. Again, just a quick note, this is a concept and it is not available to buy, but it addresses the environmental issues of disposable masks while enhancing the features of multi-use personal protective covering. And there's a press release and everything for it. Here's what that sounded like.
For safety, the mask is classified as surgical N95 respirator, which provides a high fluid resistance that protects against droplets and splashes. Its active ventilation brings in cool air and releases heat produced from exhaling, which also prevents a buildup of CO2 in the mask.
I thought it was a joke. I thought that I had been duped by like an Onion article or something like that, but this is a real thing. And again, it's got scratch resistant. It's made from recyclable plastics. I mean, it's just, why would anybody need this if we're all moving on with our lives? So I think what's going on And I hate to be conspiratorial, but I think we're being mentally prepped. We're being mentally primed for the new coronavirus strains that everybody's seeing. We're being mentally warmed up for the idea that there are new coronavirus strains out there and we should all panic. And just to give you a quick example, article in the New York Times says that the coronavirus is mutating. What does that mean for us? Oh my God. So officials in Britain and South Africa claim new variants are more easily transmitted. There's a lot more to the story. That's what scientists say. So I went through the entire article. It is a long, multi-thousand word piece. At the very bottom of this piece, again, your average person is not going to take the time to sit down for 10 minutes and to read this entire article, but at the very bottom of it, it says several experts urged caution, saying that it would take years, not months, for the virus to evolve enough to render the current vaccines impotent. That should be at the very top. That should be the headline. That should be the thing that everybody's focusing on. But instead of that, you get pages and pages and pages of mutation and what does it mean and lockdowns and masks and all this information. And then they actually go on to quote a doctor who said no one should worry that there's going to be a single catastrophic mutation that suddenly renders all immunity and antibodies useless. At the very bottom, when I say that I'm not a conspiratorial guy, I say that almost through gritted teeth, because when I read stuff like this and I look at the way that the article is structured, I begin to think to myself that there is an ulterior motive. There has to be, because why isn't the article written that a specialist comes out and says, don't worry about the variant of COVID-19? That's the news. That's what everybody wants to hear. But instead, the news now is the fear around it. The news is that people are just going to mill around now. And when they go to the water cooler or the Zoom room break room that we all do now, they're going to be saying, hey, did you hear that the coronavirus is mutating? And because they're low information individuals, they're going to say, oh, I did not hear that. What does that mean? I don't know. I guess that means the vaccine's not going to work. So then when an official comes in, when a bureaucrat comes in and then says, well, we have to keep the lockdowns going for another 6 months, that is where you're going to get people to comply. And I don't understand it. I have no idea what these people are doing. If I was running a newspaper, I would want to give people the most authentic version of the news. I would not want to give them a fear piece, which is, again, thousands of words before at the very bottom they say the influenza virus needs 5 to 7 years to collect enough mutations to escape immune recognition entirely. That's what Dr. Bloom noted. His lab on Friday published a new report showing that the common cold coronaviruses also evolved to escape immune detection, but over many years. And this is what he asked my wife. This is why I wake up in the middle of the night with my hands up to the ceiling, just screaming, why? What world are we living in? Why? And she goes, babe, go back to sleep. And I say, no, what kind of world are we living in where someone with a straight face, an editor at the New York Times, says, yeah, print that exactly the way it is. Print that. Put that out there. But then the guy says, but all the key information is at the bottom. He says, I don't care. I don't care. People need to be scared of the coronavirus still. People need to be so frightened of coronavirus. Run that article the way that it is. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Jason Rance this afternoon. You want to check out more of my content, you can go to my YouTube channel, Human Genius, two words, easy to find. You get to see my beautiful face in the multi-million-dollar studio I am broadcasting from at this very moment. We're going to take a real quick break. When we get back, more information about impeachment, Capitol Hill, inauguration, all the information you need to know. Get right back after this. We'll